This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Just let it run, boys. Just let it run, Callis. We were having people text in their submissions for what we should open the show with, which song we should open the show with. Sandstorm definitely on the list. Because this gets me all sweaty, man.
Me too.
This makes you think about getting out on the dance floor.
Yes.
Grinding up on some poor, unsuspecting ladies who don't know that scoring Doran's bringing them home for the night. Neil Walker, brought to you by Spitzer Acura. Visit them at SpitzerAcura.com. Neil, refresh my memory, man. What was your walk-up song?
Well, I always tended to gravitate toward, like, the Beastie Boys, maybe some music kind of like this, but I always liked the throwback, 80s, 90s type of, pop-punk type of genre.
Okay. No grunge? You weren't a big grunge guy, Nirvana?
Nah, never got into the grunge. Yeah, I let some other guys take that. The Seattle guys, the West Coast guys, they like to take some of that stuff.
But no doubt about it.
I tried to play kind of the demographics of where I was. The Beastie Boys were a big hit when I was with the Mets, I can tell you that.
Let me ask you about that 11:35 start now, Neil, because I don't think you liked it. Doran and I loved it. I was at the game yesterday as a fan. I know you were broadcasting because you're a really good broadcaster and your smile lights up the TVs. I've said too much. But why didn't you like the 11:35 start?
Well, I a whole bunch of flooding baseball memories come back to me, and more so than the broadcast side. I actually loved the start time. I really did. For the sheer fact that you knew that the game was probably going to be done by 2:30, which it was actually a 2-hour and 14-minute game, which was incredible. But the scrambling around, like, I have this reoccurring dream, right? Okay, so I have this reoccurring dream that I'm trying to get somewhere, or I'm in the hole trying to hit, and I can't find my bat, I can't find my glove, I can't find my gloves, my helmet, I can't find anything. So that flooding memory came back to me in 11:35 game, because that is where my OCD ADD mind gravitated towards. So I felt for the players yesterday in that sense of the order. And wouldn't you know it, I actually had that reoccurring dream last night. I'm not kidding you.
Neil, so you've had so many teammates, and whenever you play sports, obviously you see guys and you're like, that guy's pretty good. And then they transpire, and then they grow, and they get better and better and better, and all of a sudden they're this monumental figure. For myself, it comes to mind Antonio Brown. I saw Antonio Brown at the combine. He got drafted in the 6th round, and all of a sudden Antonio Brown's one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. Now, Kutch was brought back here. We didn't know what the Pirates are going to be this year, but there was a lot of hype behind Andrew McCutchen being back, and then obviously the mile markers that he could possibly hit in the Pirates uniform. He's very close to the next mile marker, which is the hits, and I think he's, what, 2 away. Did you know right off the bat that Andrew McCutchen would be as good as he is now?
Yes, I did. And, for me, Andrew and I, we played a lot of baseball together, maybe more than any other teammates between the two of us. And I remember, I was drafted in 04. I was a high school guy, obviously, and Andrew was 05, and he was a high school guy. So we immediately gravitated toward one another. And, there was never – you can tell, especially in the – the lower minor leagues or the mid minor leagues, call it, or guys that were just drafted that somewhat looked like fish out of water. Well, he was never even close to that. He was so uber talented. I mean, 5-tool, 6-tool guy from the time he was 18 years old. And, you know, there was never any conversation or any looks in his eyes of the deer in the headlights type look. I mean, he was just so poised, so impressive. You know, he played at a small school in Florida, but the high level of baseball that he played for a long period of time translated very quickly into professional baseball. So, yeah, every accolade that Andrew is about to hit or has hit to this point in the longevity of the career, nothing has surprised me whatsoever. Just knowing the guy, knowing the talent, you know, he's been able for the most part to stay fairly healthy over his career. None of it is a surprise to me and to many, many people.
How do you think it means to him when he gets 2,000 hits, when he gets to 400 doubles, Neil? Is the moment not going to be lost on him? Will he know how big it is?
Yeah, I think so. And I think especially the 2,000 hits and the 300 home runs, you know, I think the 400 doubles, I think that'll not necessarily be a huge milestone for him, but at the same time, you know, internally, you think about what it takes to get to, you know, even 1,000, 2,000, and then forget 3,000 hits. You're talking, you know, nobody's for the most part having that longevity of careers anymore. But, you know, the 300 homers, the 2,000 hits, man, that is just, it's so impressive. It's so every player would be so lucky to hit those milestone numbers. But yeah, I think he's understanding it, and I think he's really going to take it in more so than a lot of guys. And I think more than that, I think having done it here is gonna be the biggest feeling and the biggest feeling of pride for him.
Neil, what an impressive series from the Pirates against the Cardinals. Now, there's a lot of people out there saying, oh, well, the Cardinals, they stink. They're last in the division. They're not any good this year. But they're still the Cardinals. You know, you've been chasing this team forever, since 97. You've been chasing the Cardinals. They've always been in your way if you're the Pittsburgh Pirates. Would it be a disappointment if they don't sweep the A's?
Well, yes, this weekend was phenomenal. And they did it in a way that I really was happy to see. And even if they had only won 2 or 3 this weekend, I would have been satisfied with how they played, especially on Friday, getting down 5-1. Jack Flaherty kind of, you know, looking like he was cruising. Then they get a run off him. They get him out of the game, and then they take advantage of some, you know, some miscues by the bullpen. But, you know, the bullpen for the Pirates picking up the Pirates the first 2 days, and then Rich Hill picking up the Pirates yesterday. You know, that's the kind of baseball, that's kind of grinded out baseball that you have to play if you are going to make a push post All-Star break. Because this is the time of year, you know, late May, early June is the time of year where, you know, guys start to rack up innings, guys start to rack up at bats. You start to realize the hot starts maybe weren't so hot, or the cold starts really weren't so cold. Water tends to find its level as far as numbers are concerned, as long as there's no injuries involved with individual players right around this time. And I don't think the Pirates are as good as they were in April. I don't think they're as bad as they were in May. But I wanted to see this fight mentality, this fight back mentality, where we're playing these games where they're down a little bit, then they get up, then they fight back and either take the lead or tie it, and then they post some good innings defensively and pitching wise, and then score some runs late. Like that is integral to winning baseball as you go forward, and it's from a player development standpoint. Those high leverage at bats for the young guys and those high leverage innings for the bullpen guys and starting pitchers are so integral to growth as a major league player. And yes, on the Oakland A's side, I hate to say sweep or bust, because that is, it's very difficult. The baseball guys, they do not like you to sweep teams, especially in back to back series, but it does happen. At this point, after sweeping the Cardinals, if they take two or three from Oakland, I would be, as long as they're playing good baseball, I'm fine with that.
I mean, it's like playing the Nashville Sounds, Neil. I mean, they are so freaking bad. It is remarkable. I was reading a piece about them today. Everything you think you know about them, how bad they are, they're actually worse. I mean, I can't remember the last baseball team that's this bad. It's because historically there really hasn't been one. They're on pace for 130 losses. There's something we want you to promote coming up this weekend that you got your hands on. We'll do that in a moment. But last thing for me, Neil, the way that the bullpen has pitched, the way that the starting rotation has been really from the start of the season till now, they've been solid. A guy like Ke Bryan Hayes, when he finds what he's found these last few days, that could be all it takes for this team, I think, to tread some water and to play around 500 baseball. Because the bullpen, the pitching is what it is. You just need a guy like Ke Bryan to step up, and I was really happy to see him be able to do that this weekend.
Yeah, I agree with you, Adam. I mean, I think we have a really good grasp on what the bullpen looks like. And, you know, if we creep another 5 weeks from now, 4 weeks, 5 weeks from now, and we're in this same position right around 500 or above 500, I would not be surprised to see a higher leverage bullpen arm also be added to this team, which would be amazing on top of how good these guys have played to this point. But the pitching has been solid, and that plays every day of the week and twice on Sunday as far as a 162-game baseball season is concerned. And now that you got guys like you mentioned, Ke Bryan kind of coming around and providing a little more slugging for this team, that is very integral, because we know what for the most part 2 through 5 looks like in the lineup on most nights, but those 1-7, you know, those 1 and 7 spots in the lineup, if you can get some production from that, and whether Ke Bryan hits in that, you know, 2-6, 2-5-6 spot, you know, he bounces around a little bit more than most guys. If you're getting production from him, it's gonna bode very well for this offense, because you can live with an out or even two on some nights from the 8-9 spot in the lineup, but you have to have at least spotty production from that 6-7 spot in a lineup now where there's DHs every single day of the week.
All right, Neil, what do you got going on this weekend, man?
Yeah, no, thank you for bringing that up. So Friday and Saturday, I am running for the first time the Whippeel Baseball Showcase, which is Friday. We have the underclassmen, the incoming sophomores and juniors. We're going to have 40, 50, 60 maybe coaches coming to the Battleground in Callery, which is out near Mars, on Friday for the underclassmen, which that is invite only. So you have to have a coach or a high school a summer team coach recommend you for that. And then on Saturday, we have the incoming seniors, which is wide open for any senior, essentially that wants to go play at the next level, regardless of whether it's D1, D3, community college, whatever. We're going to have hopefully the same amount of coaches, 40, 50, 60, in Russellton on Saturday morning. So if anybody out there is hearing this, especially the incoming seniors, and maybe this is the first time you're hearing about it, go to whippeelshowcase.com. And you'll find the registration page. And like I said, the seniors, incoming seniors, if you want to get in, you can literally go on, click, sign up. But more than anything, I'm really, really excited about this, because it's the first year that me and my group is doing it. But, you know, I have the biggest soft spot in my heart for Whippeel baseball, obviously, but baseball in this region. And I know how difficult it is for baseball players in this area to really get in front of college coaches and scouts. So I'm hoping we have a huge turnout, and I'm hoping that we can, you know, roll out the red carpet for these kids and have this be an annual thing moving forward, where we get a lot of players regionally, but a lot of coaches that come to get to see them too.
What the hell do you know about Whippeel baseball, man? Could not have picked a worse guy than Neil Walker. Neil, thank you so much for your time, brother, as always. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
Thanks,
you
Neil.
Too. Neil Walker joins us every week. Love Neil.
The ultimate multitasker.
Yeah, he was texting us yesterday. He's doing the game broadcast on TV, right? Or was it radio? Whatever. He's doing the game broadcast and texting us. Long paragraphs. Yeah,
yes.
Not just like here and there.
Yes, like constructive too. It was like, hey guys, you know, I have this to do. Can we move this around? And he's like, it's not like, hey, how you guys doing? Or bye. He had to tell us something about his spot on the radio while he was calling the game, and Rich Hill was throwing and grunting and doing all kinds of stuff. And then, I mean, it was amazing because I was listening to it. It was on the radio. I was listening to it and texting him at the same time. Don't know what the delay is, but it couldn't be that long.
Do you think that Bob Watt can even send a text?
No.
Yeah.
He can walk a text.
Coming up next, Joe Starkey has texted me multiple times, and he said we have missed the biggest story going on right now in Pittsburgh sports. The biggest story in Pittsburgh sports that he says we've been ignoring for 2 hours and 40 minutes. I'll tell you what he thinks the biggest story going in Pittsburgh is next.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
A little juicy, Doran? Notorious B.I.G.
It's all good, baby, baby.
We've been asking people to submit songs for how we should open the show permanently. Or maybe not permanently, but for a while now. Just give some new flavor.
I like it.
Some new tunes. Juicy's been suggested a couple of times. We'll bounce back next segment with one that's also been suggested a couple of times. We have a leader in the clubhouse, but we'll get to that a little bit later on in the show. Maybe we'll narrow it down, do a Twitter poll. Make it fun. It'll be a whole thing. Twitter brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters Township. Visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. @_AdamCrowley, @ScoreAndDoran. And I remind you, it is 8:24. Good time to review your auto and home insurance with the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia. Joe Starkey's been blowing me up. He called into the hotline, apparently, Doran. Oh. There's a big story, I guess, we're missing here. At least, according to Joe Starkey.
Wait, a big sports story? A big Pittsburgh story? What is it?
Yes. I mean, yes, the biggest sports story going, he says.
Oh.
Now, I made the creative decision to not play it before. Because I didn't want to steal any of Joe Starkey's thunder. I didn't want to take a special announcement, a special moment away from him. But here's Derek Shelton after the game. We know Derek Shelton goes on with the guys every Tuesday at noon for the Derek Shelton Show. He's boys with Cook and Starkey. Probably like Starkey a little bit more just by what I've heard. Anyway, here's what Derek Shelton had to say after the game.
I mean, he's been in crinkulate over the last over the last month. And
how about the reaction from the peanut gallery?
Did you hear the reaction? The one singular reaction in the peanut gallery. You know who that was? It sounded like Ron Cook. He was like,
Cook. Let's break this down like this is a Bruder film. I heard Ron Cook. I heard Jason Mackey. Jason, and I've said this to him before, so I don't think it's going to hurt his feelings. Jason Mackey's laugh always sounds fake. He's never laughed before, and I've been like, oh, yeah, that guy actually thinks this funny.
Let me hear it again.
I mean, he's been in crinkulate over the last month, and
that is Ron.
He's pitched himself into that role.
Talking, of course, about David Bednar, the Pirates closer who got a save in each of the weekend's three games. He has been in crinkulate, but that's Starkey's word, and it's now on T-shirts. There's a theme song in crinkulate. I don't get it. I don't understand it.
Is it a real word?
I don't know. I think the push is for it to become a real word. That they want it to be put in the Webster's Dictionary, in crinkulate. I mean, it is a good word. The best part of it, though, you're right, and you caught it, because I heard Mackey there, but Ron Cook chortling in the background like he's stoned.
I mean, he's been in crinkulate over the last month, and he...
Do you think Ron gets annoyed by the incrinculant stuff?
Yes. If Joe says it, but if anybody, if somebody like Shelty says it, no.
Here's the thing about Ron. Here's what makes Ron as good as he is at what he does. Ron Cook gets along with all the big time guys. He would always get along with Ben. That's why they got the radio show. I saw him always. Anytime I would cover the Pirates back in the day, we'd be like, where the heck is Clint Hurdle? And Clint Hurdle would walk into the room arm in arm, basically, with Ron Cook. I'm guessing it's the same way with Shelty.
Yes.
So if Shelty makes a joke, if Shelty throws out a big and crinkulent word, he's going to laugh about it. But I think it's a little silly. That's right, Starkey. I don't get it. Never got it.
He's going to be upset when he walks in here today.
Here's the thing. Like, I wasn't going to play it because I didn't want to take his thunder. This is such a huge deal to him. Anyway, coming up next, two big streaks could end this year in Pittsburgh sports. One, it's a streak you'd like to see end. The other, a lot of experts think it's a streak that's going to end that's going to tick you off. We'll get to both and what they mean next. And Crankulin. It's a Fan Morning Show. Oh, yeah. Little brass monkey. That funky monkey.
Is this one in the clubhouse?
It's been suggested multiple times. We're looking for a new intro song to come into the show with 6 a.m. Monday through Friday, the Fan Morning Show. I don't know that this is top contender.
No.
But it has been submitted a couple of times, as was Juicy. We got this from four dudes listening in Ireland, Doran. Dennis, Marty, Greg, Ray in Ireland. They want Country Roads. Did you know that song's popular in Ireland? They love country music in Ireland. They love the twang. They love the banjo.
That song is not popular in Ireland.
It is.
You just made that up. Those are your friends sitting around in a garage right now drinking Natty Light.
No, it's
on
not.
On a Monday.
But it is my father-in-law and my buddies in Ireland right now. So you're half right. We got this text, and you can hit us up on the text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder and Associates remind you to text responsibly. I'm so sick of hearing the word incrinculant. It's not a word. He combines two words. Starkey blowing me up here. He says it's a combination of incredible and excellent. The reason we're talking about it now is because, well, Derek Shelton yesterday used the word.
I mean, he's been incrinculate over the last month.
You could hear Ron chortling in the background. He also got the word wrong, by the way.
I mean, he's been incrinculate.
He says incrinculate.
Incrinculate.
Not incrinculant. But we had Ron Cook laughing in the background. I think we should go the total opposite way of the midday show, dude. They're all about incrinculant t-shirts, theme songs. It comes out of Starkey's mouth every single segment. I say we boycott it.
Yeah, I'm down.
It's never coming out of my mouth. Apparently nothing's coming out of my mouth. It's never coming out of my mouth. I suggest for your sake it never comes out of your mouth.
I've never used the word in my life.
I say if they're going to write to Webster's to try to get it to be an official word, we line up people here that are listeners and fans of our show to write into Webster's and say there's this push from this crazy man in Pittsburgh trying to get a word that doesn't exist to be a word, and we think it's bogus. We think it's nonsense. We should fight off incrinculant.
We should also say, if they try to write in the Webster's to say that they want the word, we should say that Ron Cook doesn't want the word, or Ron Cook is the one who came up with the word.
Oh, that might be even better.
Yes.
If there's a reference.
Yes.
If that's how it goes, this word submitted by Joe Starkey, formerly of Buffalo, now from Pittsburgh, make it Ron's thing. Imagine if it gets in the dictionary and then Ron Cook gets all the credit.
We have examples. He's laughing at the manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates to say the word in the background. Here you go. See?
Dunkin', the official coffee of the Fan Morning Show, which is brought to you by the heating, cooling, and plumbing experts at Armstrong Comfort and Matt Mertz Plumbing. We're all on board with the incrinculant boycott, or worse, for Starkey. Let's let Cook get all the credit. All right, two streaks that could come to an end this year in Pittsburgh sports. One, the Pirates haven't finished ahead of the St. Louis Cardinals in the standings since 1999. Even when in 2015 the Pirates won 98 games, the only team with a better record in all of baseball was the Cardinals. They won 100 games. So the Pirates didn't do it that year, which was the most fun I've ever had watching a baseball team, how good those Pirates were. F the Cardinals. There's that streak. And then on ESPN.com today, there are two long streaks in the NFL that, according to this writer, could come to an end this year. The Steelers haven't finished in last place in their division in 34 years. Right now, they are the betting favorites to finish fourth in the division. The New England Patriots, it's been like 24 years or something since they finished last in their division. Now, I think it's more likely that the Patriots finish last than the Steelers. I think that the top of the AFC East is stronger than the top of the AFC North. But what do you think's more likely, dude? The Pirates finishing ahead of the Cardinals or the Steelers finishing in last?
Well, right now, the Pirates finishing ahead of the Cardinals after what they just did. It's tough. I think the Pirates are going to finish ahead of yes. The Pirates, more likely.
Than the Steelers to finish in last?
Yes.
I'm with you.
I don't think the Steelers finish in last.
Nah, I'm a 12-game guy. I think they're going to win 12 games.
You have them at, what, second?
Yes. I think they're going to be battling with the Bengals all year long for division supremacy. I believe in the Steelers roster that much. I believe in Kenny Pickett's jump that he's going to take. I think the Cardinals are going to finish behind the Pirates. I was starting to buy into them. They had a good May. They were making up ground. And then the Pirates just kicked him in the face, stole their dog, punted it off a bridge a la Anchorman, and made the Cardinals realize, dang, you ain't good. I don't think that's a good baseball team. I'm not bought in totally that the Pirates are a good baseball team, but I am a believer in St. Louis not being good.
I think they're better than St. Louis.
Yeah. They're 5-2 against St. Louis this year. People were hitting us up all morning. Oh, the Pirates beat the worst team in the National League, and you guys are getting all excited. Yeah, it's St. Louis. But part of the reason why St. Louis is the worst team in the National League is because the Pirates are 5-2 against them. They went into St. Louis, split that series. They come here, and the Pirates beat them 3 out of 3. They're in last place because the Pirates have taken care of business against that longtime rival. Well, or not really rival, because you're the bug and they're the windshield.
Yeah, you're the Browns and they're the Steelers.
I would feel so happy if the Pirates finished ahead of St. Louis. I mean, obviously you want to play for bigger things now. You're 4 games over. You're half game out of first place. You're currently in a playoff position in the wild card. But if at the end of the year the Pirates are sitting there and they've improved big time over what they had last season, let's say there's 78 wins, like I said they would be coming in, it'd be disappointing from the standpoint of they didn't wind up making the playoffs. But if they finished ahead of St. Louis, I still think that would be worth celebrating in some regard.
Would you be happier if the Steelers finished in second in front of Baltimore and Cleveland or the Pirates finishing in third ahead of St. Louis?
I'd be happier because the Steelers would make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I would. But I will jump for joy if the Pirates finish ahead of St. Louis. And I feel good about it now after that series. I hate them, man. I don't know if other people feel the same way I do. After the Flyers and, like, Pitt, but obviously people here don't feel the same way. But professional sports, after the Flyers, there's not a team I hate more than St. Louis. Because they are the shining example of everything I wish that the Pittsburgh Pirates could be. They spend money because they pack that ballpark every year. They're not a huge market, but they care so much about baseball. They don't have anything else going for them. They lost their football team. Hockey's big there, but not as big as the baseball team. It's the biggest thing. But they also develop players really well, too. Like, they're not going to have a payroll as high as the Yankees. They're not going to spend as much money as the Dodgers. But they develop and they'll supplement by paying guys. It's everything I want the Pirates to be, and they ain't. And St. Louis has shoved it up our backside for more than 20 years. And they know it. They thumb their noses up at us. They act like they're superior because they should. And it felt good that the ballpark wasn't taken over by St. Louis fans this weekend, because that used to happen all the time.
All the time.
But now they know that they stink, and Pirates fans showed up, I thought, in pretty good numbers this weekend. F them. Hate them. Suck. 412-928-9370 on Twitter, @_AdamCrowley. You can check out our Twitter poll brought to you by P.J. Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. TrustPJ.com. Also @ScoreAndDoran on Twitter. Don't want to leave you out, my man. Coming up next, we got a football segment. A great new documentary series is coming out, and it's got me all hot and bothered in the pants. And then there's something that's got me really worried, and it has to do with Pitt Athletics. Get to both of those things next. It's the Fan Morning Show. Can't talk. Listen to Cook and Joe every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry Contest, run every Wednesday through Friday at 12 p.m. at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Derek Shelton, Pirates manager, used Increnculant in the postgame yesterday. We are working to either A, boycott Increnculant, stop using the word, or if we're going to get it into the Webster's dictionary. Words are hard for me. We want Ron Cook to get the credit and not Joe Starkey. It would drive him up a wall.
Yes.
But we'll table that conversation for later on in the show. Right now, a football segment, Doran.
Mm-hmm.
Brought to you by nobody. For now. Doran, you say there's a new documentary coming out that's got you intrigued. Muy intrigued.
What is it
Spanish
called?
For very intrigued.
The Swamp Kings or something like that. It's about the 2006 to 2008-9 Florida Gators with Tim Tebow, Aaron Hernandez, Brandon Spikes, the Pouncey Brothers. I was around Tim Tebow a lot in high school and all-star games. I was around, obviously, Aaron Hernandez a lot in Combine and the draft and in the Patriots. I've heard a lot of stories. A lot of people heard a lot of stories, knew how insane those teams were and the dynamics between those teams. I think this is going to be must-watch TV. It really is. Between having Jesus Tebow and then everybody else underneath that weren't so Jesus-like, I think it's going to be a pretty incredible documentary.
So you were around Hernandez in New England too.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, I was.
And you've told the story whenever he was out one day and how you needed to step in and know all the plays.
Yes.
And Tom Brady was looking for one thing and the offensive coordinator may have been looking for another thing. Did you think that Aaron Hernandez was off between the ears?
Yes.
What makes you think that? What made you think that?
His eyes, they were black. Like, not like the color black, but it looked like he didn't have a soul.
Soulless Aaron Hernandez.
Soulless Aaron Hernandez, yes.
Was Tebow a weird guy?
He was all ball. He was all about football. He's a guy that would rally you and you would want to play for, obviously. I mean, the proof is in the pudding there. But, you know, he wouldn't swear or anything. So, I mean, he was different in that aspect. But for football reasons, I mean, the ultimate teammate.
He was respected.
Oh, yeah.
He was on a short list, one of the great college quarterbacks of all time.
Yes.
No doubt about it. But I think of him in the NFL as not a quarterback, just a ball player.
Yes.
And I think of, well, Demaryius Thomas going 100 yards down the sideline, Ike Taylor.
I don't know if he was as respected in the NFL, though. At all. Like, not at all.
That was a bad team, though, and they finished with a winning record. And, I mean, he got a lot of credit for that, and I think he should have. His numbers weren't great, except in that playoff game. Where I think he completed 10 passes for 316 yards. Because it was Tebow 316. That was the whole deal. How about this? Heather Like, I'm not sure she's interested. I'm not sure she's been contacted. But USC, in searching for an athletic director, her name has come up. I think if she were to jump ship, and again, I'm not saying that that's anything to actually be worried about, but if she were to jump ship, I think that would be a massive blow to Pitt Athletics.
Yeah, it would. I mean, and it just shows what she's done, throughout her time here. I mean, if she's on the list, and you say short list of people, if she's on the short list of people to be named to be USC's next athletic director, that just shows that she's been doing a great job of where she's at, and she's at the University of Pittsburgh, and she has done a great job. I mean, bringing back the script, the original colors, and then not just having the faith in Narduzzi, having the faith in Jeff Capel, but
patience,
but in the patience, but having really risen the bar for all the other programs. Volleyball is one of the top programs in the country. Baseball is doing very well. Soccer is doing very well. Wrestling, I mean, every single sport across the board at Pitt does very well outside of the two major sports. So that's a lot of credit to her. And seeing her name on the list kind of reassures that you have somebody that's stable here.
That's exactly where I was going to go. I would want my football head coach, if you're not at like LSU or Alabama or Georgia, if you're a program that could be looked at as a stepping stone, even though it's a good job, I would want my coach, my athletic director, on every single list. Anytime a job opening comes available, I would want my athletic director, my coach, to be on that list because it says that they're doing a good job.
Yep.
A weird thing that I haven't seen a bunch of, and I think it's a little bit ridiculous, every year at the end of every year, when there's the coaching carousel, I don't see Pat Narduzzi's name coming up on those lists. Maybe he's just so committed to Pitt that people know that. Maybe he's the perfect fit and people know that. But I don't see him on those lists. He had 20 wins in 2 years. I don't get that.
I think he kind of just lets people know the deal, too. I think he's like, don't even try it. You know, I've built something here. I've developed young people. I've put guys in the NFL. I've had multiple All-Americans. I've won an ACC championship, and I feel like I'm just getting started. So, he grew up not even an hour and a half away from here.
Youngstown.
And, I mean, I think that this is where he really wants to be and feels that he can really make and leave his name as one of the better Pitt coaches in history. I think that that's his focus, is staying here and doing that.
Yeah, I wish West Virginia had him. That is our football segment brought to you by nobody. For now. Did you say that documentary series is called Swamp Donkey?
Swamp Donkey?
Is that what it is?
Swamp Kings, I think.
Oh, jeez.
I said Swamp Kings, and then you got Donkey from that. Well, how did you get Donkey?
On Urban Dictionary, Swamp Donkey. A less than hygienic person with low morals and of poor character will do any sexual act, steal, lie, etc. for drugs.
Sounds like Mountaineers.
Get Swamp Donkey. Dunkin', the official coffee of the Fan Morning Show. I'm sure they love being butted up against Swamp Donkey. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Summer's here. Come check out Trailblazer, Equinox, the all-new redesigned 2024 tracks, and online at sunchevy.com. Today, high 79, low 52. Coming up next, the Buccos, winners of five straight. They sweep St. Louis, the worst team maybe in baseball history. Coming up next, what do you have to see out of the Buccos to believe in them again? We want your calls. 412-928-9370. It's the Fan Morning Show.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.